it's been the fact that it's possible and you can do it. And yeah. why not you? Mm. Right? Mm. Because a lot of us get... because we haven't had the amount of exposure or have that person on our side who we can say, okay, my uncle runs a startup or runs a company valuated at whatever. It's a Fortune 500 or whatever else. Because you don't necessarily have those type of things, you may get caught up in imposter syndrome, which happens a lot. Mm. Growth is uncomfortable, right? I'm finding myself going into a space that I'm so unfamiliar with and who I need to be in that space, I'm also unfamiliar with, right?
Yeah.
But I'm learning. I recently actually just heard this quote that move with speed and with the type of speed that doubt can catch up to. So when you're moving with that speed, there's no time to sit and think about, oh, but am I good enough? Oh, is this going to work? Well, because you're too busy doing the thing. Mm. So just do it. Massive action.
Finally, we're rolling. Good luck, Sadim.
How are you?
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thanks.
Thanks for making the time, man.
Thank you for having me.
After all this banter with Ray's.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the audience missed it all, but yeah, we had a good time. And we blame Joby Trafficker for all.
Yeah, it's always Joby Trafficker, honestly.
Leave my city alone. This is a beautiful city. Anyhow, man, how's business? How's life? How's everything going?
Things are going. Things are picking up. We're starting to streamline a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think for a while, I was just caught up in this solopreneur hustle. And it just made sense to actually try scale up and just take on someone to actually help in terms of the workload. So I could focus on what's important. So I can actually start going to get the clients and focusing on the proposals or actually finishing the application.
Yeah.
And some of the day-to-day operations and admin. So I've been lucky enough to have Dimala help me.
So I understand that you guys have had this conversation before, but we don't know what he does. So maybe start there. Tell us a little bit more about Jet.
Awesome. Okay, so I'll start with my name, right? My name is Ngulekosidibe. I am a creative technologist by trade. I run Wonderbooks, which is a startup within the augmented reality education and immersive experience space, right? Wonderbooks is actually more of a subsidiary of the larger creative and technology agency that we run, which is Inkulu. There we do more brand work. So advertising, immersive experiences, experiential, and so on. But my heart is with Wonderbooks, definitely.
Oh, creative technologies by trade, so it is a trade.
Yeah, a fairly emerging one. I saw it pop up on my LinkedIn, I was like, I need to run with that.
I know a few guys, and their strap line is creative technologists, and I get what they mean, but it's like, it doesn't really plug in industry-wise. Like, it's like I know what you mean by it, but it's for most people out of the circle, they're just like,
what that means.
Another buzzword. What's the product? What's the industry?
So how do you separate the two? Is Ngulu the services business and Wonderbook the product?
Yeah, it's exactly it.
Right.
So Wonderbooks is an offering that will be in the form of an application, an online application where people can actually, it will work kind of similar to your artifacts and so on, but specifically geared towards education. So, yeah, our educators will be able to upload their learning material and add some animations. And then now the worksheet can come to life in classrooms. Now textbooks can come to life.
What problem are you solving with that product?
One thing we realize is that not just children, but everyone spends way too much screen time. And it's usually like screen time that has no value whatsoever. So we looked at it and we're like, okay, children already bring in their phones in class and they're literally having the phone under the desk scrolling through TikTok.
Yeah.
And how can we take that to advantage where South Africa has such a huge mobile penetration market, smartphones specifically. And so we were like, okay, let's use that to our advantage. You have a computer in your pocket, but you're a bit too busy on TikTok. How about we actually make your learning material exciting again? Have it jump at you. And so our tagline is literally books. It's books you could really get into. And so that's the idea. It's like, how can we immerse you in experience?
So instead of trying to stop the wave of screen time, you're like, well, we've already
been beaten. So
we have, right?
Just try and do something useful with it, yeah.
Definitely. I think the idea was, how can we present guilt-free screen time?
Mm.
And so it was like, okay, this is an angle.
So maybe give us a quick walkthrough of what you mean by that. Like, how does it work for you? How does Wonder Books work with your screen and the textbook?
Okay. Yeah. So currently, in terms of how the application actually works, is
I don't mean so much technically. I mean in terms of like the user's experience.
Oh, the user. Okay. I think in terms of the user experience, ideally a parent or a teacher or the student themselves would have the application on their phone, right? The Wonder Books. You open the application, it opens the camera, and when you look at your learning material, a page in the book, it literally comes to life. It animates and leaps at you. And with the second iteration, we're also looking at exploring interactivity. I think having that, just adding that layer of immersion even more. Yeah.
Okay, got you. So, sorry, can I?
Yeah, sure.
So how does your workflow work for that? So, for example, do educators or publishers come to you and say, you know, we want this particular book animated, and you create the animations, or how does your workflow work to actually create that?
So there's two sides to it. We can be approached like that, where an educator or an author or publisher would actually come to us with their narrative, and we would actually animate it for them. However, there's also that option. So in terms of how we're building the web application, you should be able to do it yourself, where you have your image of like that one page of or that worksheet, you upload it, and then the next step, you upload the actual experience, whether it's an animation, a 3D model, or some kind of, let's say, JavaScript application or something. You upload that, and then it should work. Yeah.
100%.
It's the famous last words of a creative technologist. It should work.
It should work.
Said Zach as the wafers would not work.
As he hit the button launch.
It should work.
It should work. It should work. It should work.
Yeah.
So if I'm listening to this chat and I'm an educator,
yeah,
and I'm wondering, how does this technology help my kids perform better in mathematics, for example?
Mm-hmm.
How should I be thinking about the use as a user, how my usage of it? Am I taking a page out of a maths book and scanning it with the phone, and then what happens?
Okay. So ideally, okay, can you repeat that one more time, actually?
So I'm an educator.
Yeah.
And I hear of this great platform, yeah, Wonder Books. Now, I want my students to engage more with the content that we teach in class. Let's take an example with maths as a subject. Yeah. Now, I have the maths book with me, mm-hmm, and I'm wondering, from here, what do I do with the technology to have this content that's maths interactive or in an immersive environment onto your platform so that kids can engage with it better?
So
what do I do from there, from my test book to the platform?
Okay, so ideally, there'd be one or two ways to do it, again, in terms of just how I had explained it. So the educator would then, if they have a subscription to wonderbooks.com, then they can actually just log on and upload the actual page and then add the actual experience, depending on whether they're clued up about what they want the experience to be.
I have no clue what the experience is, for example.
Okay, so our platform actually has all that kind of information. So it also serves the training aspect of it in terms of getting you clued up on how to use the platform so you can get the best out of it.
Okay, so do I upload the experience I want, or can I choose from what's already on the platform?
You can upload. However, without letting too much out the bag in terms of what's happening in R&D, we're looking at how we could implement generative AI in there so that it happens almost real time, or it's almost like once off, you get what you want that you experience.
Yeah.
And it's also ephemeral, because the idea then is that no one can have that same experience unless if you save it and share it with everyone else.
Mm. Yeah, that was actually my next question, the sense of like, if your workflow is being within a set criteria of material that you can use, and you constantly have to onboard that in some way, you're limited in scalability and growth. But if you can have like a really cool way to use generative AI, in the sense of like, when it looks at something within its context, it can create something that's useful for that particular context for the user. And that's like, for me, that's the scalability. That's like where the clever tech comes in as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of sleepless nights staring at the ID. Just to be honest.
Yeah.
Is that t-shirt part of a product of Wonder Books, or is it Inkulu product?
So I think it's two-pronged, right?
Okay.
And the reason why that is because we can't separate the two. Inkulu is the main company that does the service,
okay.
But they create products like Wonderbooks. Okay. So this is almost like a proof of concept to say this is what we're able to do. Mm. So depending on who we're speaking to, if you're speaking to educators, we're talking about the augmented reality aspect of it and how this could make learning exciting. Mm. But if we're talking to corporates, we're talking about how they can incorporate augmented reality in some of their marketing material or eventing and their other experiences and so on, some of their touch points.
Nice.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a little bit of why you, maybe just unpack your thinking a little bit in terms of why you wanted the individual to download an app as opposed to just having a QR code and using a web browser in order to activate that. Like, what's your thinking about the app?
I think, so the application allows for spaces where people do not necessarily have coverage. So ideally some experiences can be then preloaded. And that would help with peri-urban and more rural spaces. And within these spaces, we function more as an NPO and NGO because we've had to recognize that a lot of the people who actually need this may not afford it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's almost like we have to function on a hybrid model where when we are in the more affluent spaces, then we are a commercial enterprise. But the moment we step into spaces where impact is necessary, then we start moving as an NPO.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So how we do that, it would be also partnering with corporates and so on, which is what we're currently pitching for, right? We're looking to partner up with corporates that could actually help us get this off the ground properly.
Okay.
The companies actually pre-seed out of friends and family in terms of some of the funding that we've received, and it's fully bootstrapped. So if Inkulu as a company gets like a logo or a website or a client that requires that, then some of those finances go to the R&D of Wonderbooks or some of the workshops. We were actually in Davidson yesterday with a couple of students, a couple of high schoolers, and we were just giving them exposure to 4IR, 5IR, and just potential career paths. Yeah.
Brave man using 4IR.
5IR, he said.
Oh, jeez.
Buzzwords.
4IR kind of fell away a while back, so it's like, did we speak in terms of 4IR? I don't think so.
We quickly jumped to 5th.
Yeah.
5th Industrial Revolution. Goodness.
Yeah. But in some spaces, people don't even know about that 4IR, right?
Do you think it's a reality, though? Or are the two just buzzwords, 4IR and 5th IR?
I think their reality is just in terms of adoption.
Is that AI? What is that referring to, 5th IR?
I think in terms of how industry functions now.
Yeah.
For instance, in terms of if I wanted to create a prototype of a product and so on, dare I say in the 3IR, right? Like let's say 10, 20 years ago,
maybe
earlier, it would have been such a lofty idea. But now I can literally either go on like a generative AI model, sure, and literally just prompt maybe the first image or a schematic of something, throw it into another AI model, then I have a 3D model, an STL file, then I throw it in the 3D printer and we have a prototype. Mm. So in terms of rapid prototyping and the ability for, I think, smaller players to actually get in, I think that's what 5IR looks like. And I think that's why a lot of speculation in terms of what the potential is in South Africa and Africa as a whole.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
You don't have enough computing power for this 5th IR rubbish anyhow.
Yeah, we need a quantum computer, right? We need like that huge.
We don't even have enough computing power on our phones for 4th IR, and we're leaping over to 5th IR. Goodness me!
Just our web infrastructure, just our actual network infrastructures. Yeah.
Goodness me! How do we buy the teas?
And so currently, right now, we've just been doing pop-ups, and that's just to also create a little bit of excitement.
Cool.
But we're working on an actual e-commerce platform that people will be able to get it. So if they check us out on our socials, they'll be able to get more information.
Nice. Are you able to customize the graphic? If, for example, the angle sends you our logo, are you able to do that? Or is it particular to...
I'm able to do it with anything.
Okay.
But it would obviously be then its own piece, because this exists as a piece and it's uploaded onto the cloud as its own piece, right?
Okay.
So that it recognizes. So the image almost behaves ideally as a QR code.
Right.
Because
what
is a QR code other than actually a series of pixels, which is the image? Yeah.
Nice.
So maybe back up a little bit and just tell us a little bit about the genesis here. Like you, how'd you get started? You know, did you see a gap that you decided, okay, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. Tell us a little bit about it.
So I've always found myself as one, like, both a geek and a creative, right? So it was kind of weird being with the cool, the theater kids on one end, like the musicians, and then also finding myself with the geeks and the techies and the nerds, right? Because I identify as one myself. Yeah.
So I feel that way about, so I used to move around esports quite a lot. And yeah. I felt the way about esports guys in the sense of like, they're like these butt geeks. They're like, kind of
right.
Like,
it's like, it's a very interesting combination.
Yeah, it's a combination. Yeah.
But life in itself is hybrid, is about duality. Mm. But yeah, I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, I feel like I'm riffing. Yeah, I interrupted you actually, so carry on. Yeah.
No, I think that was it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure if I answered you.
No, not fully.
He even forgot what he asked.
No, I was asking you like the genesis of things.
Oh,
so
yes.
Like, yeah, you're
okay,
in that
cool.
space of like, yeah. you know, in between. So yeah.
So originally started study systems development, so like web applications and e-commerce and so on. Was not too happy because my heart was always also within the creative space. And so I got a job doing like as a DTP, like a desktop publisher, basically like a graphic designer, but like, yeah, with less pay, I guess. yeah, so started there. And with that, I was able to go back to school and study digital communications at Vega. And that was where, I guess, the two worlds started to kind of come together. Because I think in my schooling, I was also able to start exploring things like projection mapping and whatever else, just different emerging technologies, or just more fringe in terms of just what everyone else is aware of. So started doing that, and then I did an arts incubation with an artist that had come to KwaZulu-Natal Society of Artists. So that's when I was in Durban for a little bit. It was an artist by the name of Ram Divineni, and he had an augmented reality comic book using Artivive. And so he held a incubator, which ended with the exhibition with the local youth, and I was part of it. And it seemed as though, well, actually, what ended up happening was he recognized me, and he was like, okay, I think you have potential. I'm going to Comic-Con in the next month. I think you should actually, this comic book that you guys created, come exhibit it. So we did that, and then he later lets me know that there's an opportunity to go to San Francisco.
Oh.
And so it's just, okay, apply for this. I'll show you how to get your things in order in terms of your proposal, yeah. getting your letters of reference and all these kind of things. I did that. And by grace, man, within a couple of months, I found myself in San Francisco talking about art and technology, a fish totally out of water, but like fully immersed. I just dove in, man. It was just like, wow. That's where my eyes opened a bit in terms of the potential for this.
What year are we talking about here? When was this?
Don't expose your age.
Yeah, right? It's when was this? So I have a bit of a weird reference point in terms of time. I tend to like blur out. So I think it's 20...
Pre-COVID? Post-COVID?
Yeah, pre-COVID. Pre-COVID. Mm. Like maybe 2 years before COVID.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did that experience do for you as a company?
Oh, so then I was moving more as a socially engaged artist. I was freshly out of advertising, a little bit disillusioned with the advertising industry. I was hitting a lot of walls, a lot of glass ceilings, because ideally then people were looking for specialists. You either have to be a copywriter or art director or this or that or good at this thing. And I found myself being a hybrid again, just being a multidiscipline. By nature, I just found myself drawn to, it's only now that I learned that there's such a term as polymath, right?
Mm.
And you go, oh, so this exists.
Oh, I knew it on your profile.
So how would you describe the difference between polymath and generalist? I mean, because I pretty much do everything as well.
Yeah.
Also, like, I wouldn't consider myself a polymath, though. What do you mean by polymath?
I think polymath may speak also to...
A more technical term of a generalist.
I think they're the same, but... I think they actually could be the same. Yeah,
is this a private school way of saying a jack of all trades?
Yeah, exactly. But with a little bit of mastering of some.
Exactly. That's
I can see how much school fees you both paid.
So
it's important. That's also in the kind of business you're building. It's important to be on top of. You don't have to do everything yourself.
Yeah.
But if it's your business, you've got to be in a space where the people that you're hiring to be better than you in certain areas, you at least have to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You have to understand how it fits into the bigger picture. So definitely. You do have to be a generalist in some way. Like,
yeah.
You got to understand how things.
But for the business to thrive, you quickly need to move out of being a generalist into an expert and employing people that can then take certain roles, otherwise you won't grow.
True. I think what my question would be, and I think I'd pose it to you, which is how was the transition in terms of, because when you're a generalist, you may have, you're so used to having hands-on on so much.
Yeah.
So how did you adjust to kind of letting go?
So it's a matter of scalability. I have no problem letting go, actually. So yeah. So if I'm hiring someone and I actually want them to, what are you talking about?
Politics.
So if I'm hiring someone, I'm very happy to, once they're, I have to start it for them though.
Yeah.
So in the sense of like, I kind of have to take the first few steps. So with this individual that comes in, at least then they kind of know what the path is. Otherwise, if you just hire someone and say, figure it out for me, it's not really going to be stacked within what you're building as a business.
Yeah.
But in a sense, once you've got that individual there, I'm very easy to let go. Like you built it, it's there, it's happening, and then go forth. I have no problem letting go, but I do need to start it. So even in terms of like, you got to figure out the format, you got to figure out, you know, your platforms, you got to figure out what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
And you got to do that yourself. You can't really hire someone else to do it. But then following that, I want people around me that are much better than me in those particular areas. Otherwise, what are you doing? Otherwise, if you just want to be like a dictator, like, that's not interesting. So you're not going to build an interesting business.
Yeah.
But also you're not really going to, the business isn't going to go anywhere, at least not to an extent where you want it to go.
Yeah.
You want to surround yourself with people that are better than you in the areas that you need them to be better than you. Absolutely.
Is this polymath thing a business attribute or like a character thing?
I think it's is it a personality trait or a type of person?
You must be Google polymath. I don't even know what the definition of this word is.
But my point is, when you're starting a company, in any sector,
you're
generally going to be a generalist and do a lot of things. You're going to be the accountant, the marketing.
So I think that's where the difference is between generalist and polymath then. Because I think with a polymath, the idea is that there has been enough experience that it's of a specific degree within all these different fields.
Okay.
If that makes sense. You can be a generalist, right, in terms of I understand, I kind of have an idea
as to
what's going on in this space, that space, and so on. But to actually have cut your teeth in that space where you have actually delivered something that is standing in this one, and so on. I think that's the difference.
Oh, this is where you say the jack of all trades has mastered a few of those trades as well.
Yeah.
It's not just the master of none.
Yeah.
That's not really how we can move on from this generalist point.
We can.
But that's not really the way I'm thinking about generalists. I don't mean like you're not good at anything or you're not.
I just mean
to say like you've got to start things. You've got to know. Like a director of a movie, obviously they're surrounded by individuals that are better than them in all these different areas. But you kind of have to know how those areas are going to fit together in order to get the final product you've got in your mind. The job of the director is to tell everyone what you want.
Right.
And then everyone else does it.
True.
Not as a micromanaging way, but you're leaning off their particular creativities and their particular means to execute better than you would.
True.
Yeah.
True. Otherwise, what are you managing? How would you measure the output and stuff?
Anyway, that's my view in management. Anyway, there you go.
We briefly spoke about this offline around support that different entrepreneurs get from institutions and organizations they belong to.
Mm-hmm.
What success have you seen or had in incubation hubs and communities that you belong to?
I think one has been, without mentioning the specific hubs, unless
you
would like,
I know Scott is dying.
Which ones are these? Name and shame.
Scott, back off.
So I think being part of these kind of incubation programs and it's been very, very vital for my growth in terms of also structuring the business, how we run. I think the nature of it, especially depending on your upbringing, you may not have been exposed to entrepreneurship. Sure. And also the degrees to which you were exposed to entrepreneurship vary, right? Because I was exposed to informal trading, right?
Sure.
I grew up in a house with my granny who literally put all her daughters through school through literally selling fish cakes, fed cooks, and so on. And so, I mean, I remember being the kid literally counting the change and learning. That's where I was learning. I didn't know that I was learning how to work with money then.
Right, right.
And that would be a bug that would be with me forever, where I'm like, no, but there's a way. I say that to then come back and say, these institutions have allowed for growth in terms of like no longer functioning from a hand-to-mouth perspective, right? Because we function from a survivalist place sometimes. We have to pay rent. We have to do all of that. But to go, okay, there's avenues. You can get a grant here to then at least sustain you so you can do your R&D to get at least your most viable prototype out, right, at least. Or get a second iteration out, do some testing. So exposure to those kind of things, exposure to how venture capital works, what funding phases you go through. These are things that I would have otherwise not known had I not plugged in. To some of these incubation spaces and so on.
Nice.
So we need a lot more of these spaces.
Yeah.
There could be some improvement in terms of the support right afterwards.
Okay.
Because, you know, you energize for a week or a month or a couple of months, you know, you're exposed to and immersed in all of this things that you otherwise would have never thought of. You're excited, you're around other entrepreneurs that are also fighting the good fight, right?
Mm.
But then you're back to the game afterwards in silo where, you know, without going too far.
without mentioning any names.
Yeah.
I know a number of us belong to those communities and those incubation hubs.
Mm-hmm.
They do help where they help. They do lag where they lag.
Yeah.
Where do you feel they need to do most to improve their help and support for entrepreneurs across all sectors?
Okay, so depending on which stage the entrepreneur is, right?
Yeah.
But I would love for them to be able to support across all stages, because even if I'm just at idea stage, I might have a game changer of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to meet me where I am in terms of, okay, I just have a really cool idea. And then you should be able to show me the avenues to make it a real thing, or to at least go, yes, it is viable. But then to those who are in the game already, they are running their startups and so on. You know, it's kind of tough when you're in the position where you know you need money in order to pay people because you need to scale up, but you know you need people in order to get the money so you can scale up.
Chicken and egg.
It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
So that conundrum has been something that I feel like these institutions can help us sort out in terms of being the mediator and being able, because I mean, they have access to either, if it's not the finances, then at least the networks, and then they can help you with business development too. So yeah, those are some of the things.
So earlier you were talking about commerciality in terms of what you're building. Sometimes you're an NPO, sometimes you're in commercial. So when you're thinking in particular sectors, and I'm speaking specifically in terms of your shirt and doing those sort of AR activations and so forth. What kind of corporate interest have you had, and have you leaned into the music industry a little more directly, how are you thinking about it, and just in terms of where you might be placed to get the most impact?
So because it's been at its very early stage in terms of getting it out there to the people, it's only now that we're also learning to build in public. We've been building in silo for so long, right? Within the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've actually been in conversations with an artist who was interested in terms of having that on their merch. So that's an avenue. But in terms of actually walking in and knowing the right doors, we would truly be grateful for some level of assistance in that, because sometimes you may not have the key for that door, but that person that you need is on the other side of it, quite honestly, and we find that a lot.
That's a quote for social. You might not have, what are you saying, the key? You know, the key for the people. Should you say it again?
You might not have the key for the door, and the person that you need may be right on the other side of the door.
Boom.
So hence you do the requirement of your mentors or people just on your side in terms of, because sometimes there's also that non-monetary investment,
it
right?
Takes time.
Your time is everything. Yeah.
It takes time. It takes time to build out that kind of network.
Yeah, it would be great if there's opportunity centers or whatever they are called, incubators, could help with that. I mean, what's the point of congregating at this spaces if it's just us as entrepreneurs without venture capitalists or any other people coming in and hearing the conversations out?
Definitely.
But for me, I think one of the key takeaways from being part of this community is just changing your mindset. Sitting and hearing people talk about the risks they took, the amount of investment they had to make in acquiring knowledge.
Yeah.
Just outside of growing the business or getting funding for the business, the work they had to do with themselves in terms of just being exposed to different ways of thinking, acquiring different kinds of knowledge and information, ultimately growing yourself as a person, growing ways and thinking different patterns and things like that. That for me is one of the things I took away from these communities.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, what was that one moment for you, or that one key takeaway that you've had?
That's what a question, right? I think it's been the fact that it's possible and you can do it. And why not you? Right? Because a lot of us get because we haven't had the amount of exposure or have that person on our side who we can say, okay, my uncle runs a startup or runs a company valuated at whatever, it's a Fortune 500 or whatever else. Because you don't necessarily have those type of things, you may get caught up in imposter syndrome, which happens a lot. I myself actually quite recently recovered from something within that space because growth is uncomfortable, right? I'm finding myself going into a space that I'm so unfamiliar with and who I need to be in that space, I'm also unfamiliar with, right?
Yeah.
But I'm learning. I recently actually just heard this quote that move with speed and with the type of speed that doubt can catch up to. So when you're moving with that speed, there's no time to sit and think about, oh, but am I good enough? Oh, is this going to work? Well, because you're too busy doing the thing. So just do it. Massive action. And so that's what I got from it, definitely.
You got this, man. What he got from incubation hubs is outpace your doubt.
So it's kind of like the idea of, and this is true for anyone trying to do anything in the sense like, you know, everyone, say for example, you set a goal for yourself to make $1 million, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not so much about, technically there's a system you have to follow in order to get there, but it's much more important to put yourself in the space of who you need to be in order to be making that $1 million. And that's kind of what you're talking about, that sort of journey, that those leaps from getting rid of imposter syndrome in some way, like just thinking yourself into the space where you are that person that is actually making the $1 million.
Yeah.
Which is different from the work. You still have to do the work. You can't just sit in bed and kind of think about it. But, you know, it's a, there's certain parts of you that you need to identify and let go of in order to, like, take that space, you know?
Yeah.
Imposter syndrome is a thing, man. And it's hard to identify it in yourself.
Yeah.
It's hard to recognize what it is. But it's, and everyone has a different path to seeing it, I guess. But yeah, it's important.
Imposter syndrome. Do you have one?
I think we all do to some extent, man.
We all do?
Well, not you, of course, Dan.
I'm trying to tell you right now. Me, what are you talking about?
But you realize there's a certain level of grit and audaciousness you need in entrepreneurship. Like,
and
for
you must
sure.
be like me. No imposter syndrome. Be you.
I love it.
Keep the grind.
Yeah.
Yes. Your share North the formula. Star is your North Star.
Yeah.
Keep grinding. Keep moving.
Awesome.
I wish I could do... Wish what? Work.
Work.
That's it. No imposter syndrome. Work.
I think that would give me a little bit of trauma, my militant dad. So I was raised by a militant dad, right? Ooh. Like, so you could just imagine what that looks like.
Right.
And having a creative
routine.
So, yeah. No, but I've heard exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, cool. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Oh, man.
We need to wrap it up. If people want to reach out and support the work that you do or buy your services, how do they reach out?
Look for Inkulu Creative. You can Google Inkulu Creative. You can look for us on Instagram, Inkulu Creative and Technology. You can look for us on LinkedIn.
Freshly minted account, just a couple days old, I might add. Get in there before it's too late.
Yeah,
get the best experience right now.
Right now. Get it while it's hot, right? So it's Instagram, Inkulu Creative and Technology.
Cool.
With a couple of underscores. So please just look, just actually type it in and search it.
Yeah.
Inkulu, Inkulu. Okay. Which is Zulu for big, if you don't know. And the idea is that it's bigger than all of us.
Oh.
And with that too, how you spell it when you write the actual name of the company out is the small case I, mm-hmm. and then the rest is higher case, right? Because mm-hmm. the idea is that it's bigger than me.
Ah,
yeah.
Nice. And Inkulu is the services business where you can request for logo designs, XR, VR related products.
Yeah, and more information about Wonder Books will also be shared on Inkulu.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time, man.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah. This was amazing.
Yeah. I'm just angry you didn't bring me this tea, man.
Yeah? We may be able to. Yeah. I don't want to overpromise, so.
I'm getting a tea.
Uh-oh.
No, man, thank you so much for tuning in.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for making time for this conversation.
Thank you so much, guys.
It's been The Angle Podcast. Awesome. Thanks for tuning in. Like, subscribe, share, comment in the comment section below. Till next time.
Beautiful.